Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
And welcome back to Happy Hour here with Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci. I am Frankenberry. We've returned with another show for you right now. And now that we are, not well into the new year, but we're into the new year, New Year's resolutions, they've either come into focus or maybe they've been put on a shelf at this particular point.
Yeah. Our resolutions are a little bit in the rearview mirror at this point. Which is okay. We go through this every year, but I thought I would have back with us. He's an absolute friend of the show, Dr. John McGrail. He's a clinical hypnotherapist and he's a personal corporate performance coach, spiritual teacher. We love this guy. He's a friend of ours. And we thought we'd have him on for those of us who right at the beginning of the year set New Year's resolutions and are already looking in the rearview mirror and frustrated that our behaviors are inconsistent with what we would desire for the results we want, because he comes at a little bit of a different angle. It's not necessarily about setting those external goals and then beating yourself up for not reaching them, but the role that our subconscious plays in all of this. When the subconscious is at odds with what we believe we want, the subconscious will always win. So he's going to help us understand that role it plays and how to better work with the part of us that really drives change. You got to really just record that and play that again when he comes on in a little while.
Okay. Yes. And it has been a while since we've talked to Dr. John, so looking forward to that.
And we love him. Yes.
Yes. Yes. And maybe if we're lucky, he'll psychoanalyze Jonna and he'll solve some of her problems.
You think that's going to happen in 20 minutes? Holy moly.
You need at least multiple sessions on that one, don't you?
One for each personality, Frank Barry.
That's right.
And how many of those do I have? I mean, I've lost.
You have one awesome one.
Well, thanks. Speaking of awesome, I just want to, before we launch into any gossip and chit chat, I want to say that another friend of the show says hello to all of us. I had dinner a few nights ago with Heather Hansen.
I knew you were going to say that.
Okay.
Yes. Who wrote the book, The Elegant Warrior, and Advocate to Win. And she's got her own podcast. And she's doing good. And she says hello to everybody. I'm sure she would love to join us again in the not too distant future. But can I just remind everybody that Heather Hansen is one of my heroes because she still is a lawyer, though she stopped practicing law after like 20 or so years because she wanted to be a writer and a coach and a public speaker. And she literally burned the boats. She's like, bye, firm, see you around. Took, whatever savings she had and just started doing what she wants to do. And you know what she said to me the other night? This is her almost an exact quote. She said that she's not living on the same income that she was when she was practicing, but she is 10 times happier.
Wow. Oh, well, then how do you define success? To me, the happier you are, the more successful you are.
See, that's a really good point. And that is another sidebar that you are leading me to. So one of your Christmas presents that I have yet to give you, even though we are well into 2024, this would be your Christmas present, Curly, from 2023, because you know how we are. I'm going to tell you what it says, because you just said that. I got you a shirt that says, I must be successful because I love expensive ish, except the word ish is not ish. You get me?
That's cute. Yes, nudge, nudge. Get what you're saying, girlfriend.
Tish, are you Frankenberry?
But I love, you're right. The definition of success depends on who you're talking to.
Yeah, absolutely.
To say you're 10 times happier, and even though you're making it work on less income, and I'm sure at some point her income will exceed whatever she was making, at her firm. But that's the kind of commitment, I guess, right? Is that the kind of commitment it takes to really shift gears in life toward happiness?
I admire people who'd make that kind of big change, because it's scary.
Oh, without a doubt.
You know, to walk away from what you know and what's familiar, even if you're unhappy. But I love hearing those stories.
I know. And then on a side note, I went to this. So here's what we did. Because we hadn't seen each other. I think it's been a few months. So I picked a restaurant that I have not been to. And I've been to a lot of restaurants in the city, but certainly I haven't been to all of them. So I thought it would be fun. I'm like, let's go to a place where celebs typically go. So you can actually Google that. You can Google what restaurants, you know, are good for celebrity sightings. And so I picked a place in the West Village called Mirandi, where Sarah Jessica Parker always goes. And I thought, oh, that's fantastic. I'm going to run into Sarah Jessica Parker. We didn't. We didn't see one single celebrity. Not even close.
And you had your picture ready on your phone of Sarah Jessica Parker, the cat, to show her, didn't you?
I had my ringtone is the theme song from Sex in the City. Yeah. Oh, I had it all ready to go. I would have played that in a minute.
And she was going to text me, Curly, call my phone.
Right. I'm going to turn it up and hold it up in the middle of this crowded restaurant.
But don't worry, I'm not going to answer. I want it to just keep playing.
Never answer, so yes, it's okay.
And while you're listening, isn't she cute? This is Carrie Bradshaw.
Oh, right, my cat.
Yeah.
Oh God. That's right. But we didn't see a single celebrity. And I got to tell you, but the food was really good and the vibe was really good. But have you guys, so not that I'm a restaurant snob, because I am, but I'm not. the noise level, like if you don't have acoustics dialed in a restaurant, especially a New York City restaurant where you're on top of each other anyway, it's like we literally couldn't hear each other talk. We were like sign language. Here, I'll write this on the napkin and then you answer. Like it was really
loud. That would stress me out so bad.
I know, right? Because part of the fun when you go out to dinner, you want to chat and gossip and catch up.
Yeah, it's the experience.
And you don't want the table next to you listening in.
Definitely not to your stories.
Right.
So anyway, so that was fun. And she says hello. And that's a reminder that we got to get her back. She is doing a whole lot of speaking and podcasting and loving it.
And Jonna, I want you to know, by the way, I should probably correct you a little bit on the fact that you said at this restaurant on this particular night that there were no actual celebrity sightings, even though this restaurant is famous.
Yeah, because you are one.
Yeah. Yeah, how do you know, Jonna, or not know, that folks at other tables were going, hey, that's that woman from Fox News.
Yeah. That happened to me once when I was out with her.
It did?
It was a couple of years ago. We were in an outdoor bar, and somebody came up to you. I was like, well, that's kind of cool.
In the city?
As I slunk down in the background.
Yeah.
It was a quick interaction. We were standing up at an outdoor bar. I don't remember which one. There's been so many.
So many.
Who's the coolest celebrity you've ever seen out?
So that is a great question. Like, not that you paid to see. Somebody that you just bumped into?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I remember one time Ice-T was at the table next to us when we were out at STK with Jeannie Kelly and Dr. Max.
Dr. Max. Yes, we miss him. Yes, Ice-T was there. One other time I was at another restaurant and I was two tables down from Chris Rock.
Cool.
Yeah. And somebody else that was like a friend of his from SNL, but I can't remember who.
It wasn't at Rayo's.
Spike Lee. And speaking at the same restaurant that I saw Chris Rock, even though it was a different time. Remember, I think I complained to you guys about this one. So I am a fan, and I think you are too, Carol, of Bethany Frankel. Like, she does a lot of good, even though she's a reality star and, you know, Housewives of New York City. Anyway, she was at the same restaurant that I saw Chris Rock, and I liked her a little less after that because she had her own private security guard guarding her table so that nobody would come near her. And I thought, who the heck do you think you are, lady? I mean, you know,
especially with the fact that I was thinking of stalking your table.
That's why you were upset by it. I mean, I actually understand that. She's so widely known that she would likely not be able to get through a meal without being interrupted or chastised or something, you know, because she's controversial. She's a big personality.
Right. And that's exactly.
Jonna was mad because she couldn't get to the table.
Exactly.
But wait, since you bring this up, this raises another interesting point, because I know you think that I'm crazy like that and I would approach a celebrity who was sitting down and having dinner, but I actually would not. I would not do that for that reason, because I think it's intrusive. And another setting I might, you know, I'm not when they're having dinner, but like if you just saw them out shopping or maybe even at a bar having a drink, that's a little less formal. Right. But I don't. But I saw those two in this. You know what? That's so funny, because I go to this restaurant a lot and I don't think of it as being a celebrity sighting restaurant, but it's the restaurant where I've sighted the most celebrity.
So thus the reputation. Yes. You know, and it's funny when it comes to celebrity stuff. You know, I mean, look, I'm a radio guy. So, you know, I've emceed a lot of bands. So I've had a chance to meet a lot of artists over the years. But I think my favorite occasion of such was when I was getting set to emcee Little Feat one night, and things were running late. And when the stage manager, you know, the manager for Little Feat, finally found that time for me to go out on stage and do my 10 seconds, you know, hello, everybody, you know, hello, Philadelphia. Thank you for coming, you know. And so as I'm out there, all of a sudden, and the band had already gotten set up and gotten ready to play, the band starts playing while I'm finishing my intro, and I almost got impaled by the bass player trying to get off stage. And when I got off stage, I said to myself, how cool was that? I almost got impaled by the bass player of Little Feat. I was on stage with the band while they played their beginning of their tune.
And the crowd went wild.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Actually, the crowd said, who the hell is that guy?
Get off the stage.
Yes.
You can't see.
Yes. Like when I first started emceeing wrestling years and years ago, and I got booed by 13,000 people because they didn't know who I was.
For real.
But eventually, like a good wrestling character who starts as a bad guy and becomes a good guy, eventually, yeah, I emceed every couple of months. And by the time I got up on stage for like the fourth time I was emceeing, I now was like the good guy MC fella. And I was high-fiving people on my way to hop up into the ring to say hi to everybody. It was great.
Wow. So you're a celebrity. You're part of the WWE.
I won't go that far. Thank you. But no, it was fun.
Jonna, what's going on in Catland?
Oh, I got bad news in Catland.
I don't like to hear that.
Well, sort of bad. It's not terrible. It's just not great. So one of my outside cats, Pinky, who is the father, the sire of all of the other cats that are living under my spare room bed, showed up the other day with a distinct limp to his right hind leg, and he's favoring it very much. Like he's not putting it down, and he won't let, I know. And he won't let me touch him. And I made a couple of attempts to trap him in a trap. And he's very smart. And he actually went in one time, but he got out before it could trap him. So I actually have called a couple of places to see if they have, you know, I know there are different kinds of trap. Like I'm totally into this now. Google, all of my Google history is all cat, 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 cat. But I feel bad. But I'll tell you this. I didn't realize, because I'm learning cat as we speak.
I'm learning cat.
he's getting around just fine, and you know, there's no blood, there's no visible injury at all, and I've gotten fairly close, you know, like within a few feet to look, and I've taken some photographs and zoomed him in. I can't see a physical thing wrong with that cat's leg, and when he wants to hightail it away from me, he goes like a bat. I don't know. So I'm going to keep trying to catch him, but this is, you know, will it heal on its own? Am I making too much of it? I don't know. This is, it's breaking my heart though, because he is an outdoor cat, very, very feral, not mean, but I'm never going to be able to touch him.
You know? Right. Well, I mean, obviously, I would just say continue to keep trying to catch them so you can eventually get them to a vet.
You know, and then what do vets do? Because here's the other part I don't really know. Like, if you have a totally feral cat that has had no human contact and you manage to catch him and you put him in a cage and you take him to the vet, does the vet, like, got to give him a shot in the rump and knock him out before they can even do anything to this cat? Like,
probably.
Yeah, I mean, no, I'm sure that, I mean, they deal with that all the time. I'm sure they deal with people bringing in feral cats to have them spayed or neutered all the time. So that's I would imagine that's just a matter of course for them.
No, that's true. That's true.
I'm newly addicted to a show, Secrets of the Zoo. Have you guys caught it?
Oh no.
There's one in Tampa, there's one in Columbus. Two different shows, Secrets of the Zoo. And it's all the behind the scenes of the zookeepers.
Oh,
I love it. Sometimes it's a little bit sad, but I absolutely love it. But like, they've got a Bengal tiger that's got a lump on the side of its face. They have to investigate it. So they'll shoot it with a dart, knock it out, and then get it under general anesthesia. So it's probably a little baby version of that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, So I'm going to keep trying to do that. To the cat's credit, he is hanging around. Like, I have a heated house and he gets a lot of rest during the day there, and he's getting three meals a day and he's getting all those things. but he's a little smart. They get a little smart about those traps, no matter how hungry they are.
I guess you got to make them hungrier and put wet cat food out there.
Yeah, which is what I do. And then on a funnier note, I also, in addition to having the heated houses for this winter, I invested in a heated, like a food station. It's got one bowl for water and one bowl for food. And it keeps the foods from freezing, which is nice. And the bowls are like, so they're probably about the size of a fairly big dog would use, you know, so they're much bigger than a cat bowl. They're big. So anyway, you plug them in and they get all heated. Well, for a while, I had not spotted any raccoons on my deck, which I was loving. I figured they moved on. I was loving not having the raccoons for a while. Until the other night, I went down there and I had two raccoons, one of whom was literally sitting with his rear end in the water dish. He shoved his entire giant butt in the and like took a bath, and he was literally,
oh my God, it was like a little hot tub for him.
Yeah, exactly.
Hot tub. That's exactly what it was like. But I hate when they do that because they are so filthy, you guys. When they, even if they put their paws in the water that I have for the outdoor cats, it is filth. It is mud. It is dirt.
Yeah. So anyway, all right, before we go to break, has Mom and Aunt asked any more about Elvis or your cats?
She has not. And I told you my plan. Like, I'm not mentioning any, I'm not even saying the word cat. I'm not saying the word whisker. I'm not saying the word meow. I'm not saying anything that's going to prompt her to ask me any questions.
Yep.
Because I don't want to be asked any questions. So I didn't even tell her about, you know, Pinky's injury, even though it's been bothering me. I've had to hold that in. I've had to suffer alone because she just can't synthesize that stuff, you know. Right over your head.
Okay. Please, now. Right. In the center ring, Jonna Spillboard, take it away.
Oh, gosh. Coming up after the break, we are talking to Dr. John McGrail. He is a hypnotherapist, clinical hypnotherapist. He's a personal performance coach, and he's the author of The Synthesis Effect, hence the Sigu you just heard. And he's coming on to talk to us today at this point in the year where most of us, our New Year's resolutions are a little bit in the rear view mirror. So he's going to come on and talk to us about what role our subconscious plays in our outward behavior, and how, if we really want to enact change in our lives, how to get in touch with that part of us and work with that to start doing the things that will get us what we really want in life and how we want to feel in life.
Okay, that sounds good. Old friend Dr. John McGrail is on the way next with Jonna Spillbore and Carol Pesci and Some Dude. This is Happy Hour, and we will be right back.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back once again, everybody, to Happy Hour. It is Jonna Spilbore, it is Carol Pesci, and myself. And it's time now to get to our guest. And we've got a guest that's returning again. I think he's been on the show. If this were SNL, he'd be in his own club, you know, for like, you know. Yeah, it's like the 17 Club, you know, that's, you know, kind of thing. But we've got Dr. John McGrail with us today.
Yes, we love him. And I don't know the last time he's been on, but it's been far too long. He's a clinical hypnotherapist. He's a personal and corporate performance coach. He's the author of The Synthesis Effect. He focuses on helping people with personal growth and healing, behavioral modification, performance improvement. He's worked with celebrities, athletes, pilots. I'm not joking when I tell you if I continue with his bio, we're not going to have time to talk to him. So I'm going to call it there. What he agreed to come on and talk to us about today is that at this point in the year, a lot of our New Year's resolutions are a little bit in the rear view mirror. And he is going to help us understand the role our subconscious plays in our behavior and how we can better develop a relationship, if you will, with our subconscious so we can really truly enact the behavioral changes we want that will get us the results we want that will get us the ultimate happiness that we're all after. So, Dr. John, welcome back to the show.
Oh, my goodness. It's so great to be back with you guys. But, you know, I like that idea. I want a jacket. I want, you know, my 17 jacket or whatever it is. And boy, you make me sound good. I love that.
Well, you're always fun because you know us, you play with us. And what I love about you from the first time we invited you on the show and even in your book, The Synthesis Effect, is Dr. John, you are so, it's almost like a gift that you have. It's not just the knowledge that you have of what makes us tick and how we can make ourselves tick better, but it's your delivery. You're so warm. You take things that are seemingly complex, if not impossible, and you make it approachable and understandable. It's a gift you have.
Oh, thank you. That's so very kind of you to say. I really, really appreciate that. And the fact that, you know, people do improve their lives is really the bottom line. And yeah, so wonderful to be back. It's been way, way, way too long. And I'm delighted. You know, next time I come, I'm going to drive to the studio because I live on the East Coast now.
Oh, that would be so fun.
Yeah.
Actually, you can meet us at a bar. That'll be even more fun.
Okay.
That'll be funner.
Yeah.
You're on. I'm in.
So, Dr. John, I guess maybe at this point, let's back up a little bit.
Sure.
Because I know you've talked about how incredibly effective your techniques are in helping people overcome fears or make the personal changes that they've been fighting against or have been unsuccessful doing. Sometimes there are people, and I'm not knocking therapists. There's wonderful ones and they play a very valuable role for some people. But sometimes you'll find people who are in therapy for 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, and haven't really addressed or resolved what made them go there in the first place. And you, I remember, have said that sometimes in just a few sessions with people, you have massive productive results. Am I remembering that correctly?
You are, and that's true. And I, too, am a big advocate of conventional therapy. And for a lot of people, it can provide great breakthroughs and transformations. And at the same time, for a lot of people, it becomes a habit. And that in and of itself is good. But they go every week and they talk about the same thing over and over and over again, and they never really get anywhere. And that's not to disparage the therapist. It's just the process. The thing is that most people don't understand, and we've discussed this before, but for those of you listeners out there who have never met me, most of our behaviors, our patterns, the habits, the fears, the phobias, whatever they are that are holding us back, the blocks in our life, if you will, are created subconsciously. We don't do it on purpose. We don't feel bad on purpose. Yeah, I think I'm going to have a panic attack now. That's what I'm going to do. It'd be a good idea. Sure, why not? It's been 2 days. That doesn't happen. They just come up. You know, the fear of getting on an airplane or driving on the freeway or not being able to quit smoking or some other, biting your nails, pulling your hair, whatever it is. You don't do it on purpose. I mean, very few of us hurt ourselves on purpose. And so if you want to make those changes quickly, you have to work at a deeper level. And that's the beauty of some of the tools I use, like hypnotherapy and my whole synthesis process, which, you know, is now, you know, just getting better and better. Yeah, in a few weeks, with the right commitment, to yourself and the right assistance, you can completely transform your life. I see it over and over and over again. That's why I haven't retired, because it's just so much fun to help people do
that. I bet. It's got to be incredibly rewarding.
It really is. And everything I've ever done has been. And just as, you know, I have said this to you folks, you guys, so many, you're my favorite show of all time, but you do an incredible service. And you know it's rewarding because you're hearing from your listeners all the time. But what people have to understand, if you want to change and transform your life profoundly, you got to do it from inside. And that means inside the depths of your subconscious mind, which is like a three-year-old child that never grows up. And metaphorically speaking, it's like a computer. Once it's programmed with its patterns, whether they're good or bad, because it can't tell the difference, it doesn't matter. It will just keep playing those programs over and over and over again. And we all know what I'm talking about. Everybody suffers from it.
And, you know, I want to ask you a question here. This is my understanding, and tell me if I'm right or wrong, even though I doubt I'm wrong. Yeah. Many of our subconscious patterns we developed at a very young age with positive intent that served us at a young age, but then we became adults and they no longer accomplish what they were originally developed to do. Is that accurate?
It absolutely is. That's beautifully said. I mean, very few people feel badly or hurt themselves or have, unhealthy or unwanted habits on purpose. And very few parents purposefully try to harm their children. You know, we are programmed, if you will, and I hate to use that word because it sounds so inhuman, but the truth of the matter is, we develop our personalities, our attitudes, our values, our beliefs, and our behavioral patterns very early in life. By the time we're 8 years old, actually by the time we're four, the first 4 years of life are the most formative years to determine what kind of a human being you're going to end up being. And very few parents harm their children on purpose. It's with good intent that we are instilled with these patterns, if you will, these behavioral programs. But yes, as we get older, very often, if not always, for some of us at some time, they don't work so well anymore. And that's where this dis-ease, if you will, comes in. We have blocks. We don't feel good. Our life's not working the way we want it to. We want to change it and we try, but it doesn't work because we're not dealing with that internal programming. And again, that's really what I found you have to do most of the time, because there's never a silver bullet and it's not 100%. Some people can just say, you know what, I'm going to change. I'm done with this. And they do it. Very rare, but it can happen, but it's rare.
Well, I wanted to bring that up because I think, and it's been a few years since I read your book. I'm due to read it again, and I want to now after speaking with you. Because I think a good first step is to stop beating yourself up. You know, if you haven't made the change that you wanted to, cut yourself some slack. This is why.
Yes. And, you know, the first thing, I can't wait to plug my new book. It's not done yet, but the first thing I tell everybody, all my new clients and workshop students, if I'm doing keynotes or motivational seminars, doesn't matter. I say, listen, you have to understand this. You are not alone. We all have stuff and there is nothing wrong with you. You just have some stuff going on that we all have. And if you can let yourself off the hook and understand that you're not alone, because everybody thinks, oh, I'm the only one with this. No. There are millions of us in this club of whatever this dysfunction is. And you're not alone. There's nothing wrong with you. Your mind, your subconscious mind, that little three-year-old computer learned a pattern a long time ago. It doesn't know it's bad for you. Your conscious mind does, but your subconscious mind is much, much more powerful and much more and more massive. And therefore, it's in control most of the time.
Dr. John, let me ask the stupid question because.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Right. Because Carol's incapable, apparently. So I'll do it. So I agree with all that. I think a lot of people would agree that when you decide to make some sort of change for whatever reason, you know, you can tell yourself outwardly, all right, I've got to change this. Here's what I'm going to do to try to change. But you're not necessarily accessing your subconscious when you do that. So the million-dollar question is, how do you access the subconscious so that you can achieve that lasting real change?
Dr. John, before you answer that, please tell her how brilliant that question is.
Yes, well, please. Okay. Please, for God's sake, tell her.
Okay.
I'm going to find an emoji.
Jonna, I promise that is a brilliant question. It's not stupid at all. And the truth of the matter is that's what I was going to say anyway, Carol, so you didn't need to prompt me.
Okay.
Oh, go on.
There are ways you can do it on your own. And I'm going to bring up a dirty word for many, many people. But first of all, hypnosis is a way. It's a state of consciousness that does, as far as we know, provide access to the subconscious mind so that we can converse with it, if you will, help it unlearn what's not working and relearn the patterns we want. Hypnosis is a great way of doing that. It's been in use for 7,000 years. So there's a reason for it because it works. There are several forms of meditation that can do that as well. Meditation, of course, you usually do on your own. People in Western culture are so averse in general to it, but it is one of the most beneficial activities a human being can take on if they do it consistently. And I use meditation and hypnosis together, and those are the two underpinnings, if you will, of the whole synthesis process. They work so beautifully together. Hypnosis helps us create these changes quickly. And then meditation, if you do it consistently, it becomes very, very fun. It helps maintain those changes systemically. But you can do it on your own. You can learn to hypnotize yourself. It's just really challenging for most people. Most people will do it much more quickly if they have the benefit of outside assistance from someone who knows what they're doing and knows how to guide them through it. But that's how you do it. You can do it. And Jonna, that was a great question.
Hold on, Doc. I'm writing down the time this happened so I can keep that for Jonna.
Oh, save that soundbite. Yes. Brilliant question,
my
Jonna.
Goodness.
Run that on a loop. So that's interesting. So, you know, you kind of raised another question. So hypnosis and meditation, while similar, are different. Like when you're performing hypnosis on a person, other than noticing a behavioral change, can you tell when it's working?
Yes, you can. And, you know, I'm going to just correct you slightly. You don't perform hypnosis. You guide someone into that state of consciousness really quickly, but I will address the question. And this is another mysterious and mythological thing. Hypnosis is a natural state of consciousness. We all do it every day, whether we know it or not. So we can use it for a lot of different things. Most people are familiar with stage shows where people act goofy on stage, think their minds have been taken over. Nothing could be further from the truth. They're up there because they want to be, and they're playing along with the hypnotist. But we all experience hypnosis. Hypnotherapy is using that state of consciousness, inducing it, not performing it, but inducing it or guiding someone into it so we can make these changes. And now, here's old age for you. I can't remember the initial question. What was it?
It was, can you tell when hypnosis is working?
Yeah, how can you tell hypnosis is working? Really simply, the behaviors change, the attitudes change, the fears go away. You don't want to smoke anymore. You don't want to bite you're not biting your nails. You're not pulling your hair. You can get on an airplane and fly and take your vacation. And you do it easily and effortlessly. That's how you know it's working, because you feel better.
Dr. John, when you talk about meditation, can you expand on that a little bit? Because there's guided meditations I listen to on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And then there's times when I will just sit and try to focus on my breathing and release any thought that comes along. So can you better guide us to what is the best way to meditate if we want to enact change and reach ourselves on a subconscious level?
Okay. Well, first of all, you're correct in that there are many different ways of doing meditation. And that's one of the things that is so confusing for people. You know, there's mindful meditation where you just sit and pay attention to what's going on in the moment. Learn to be present. So you're not in the past. You're not in the future. You're just here. There is Zen meditation where you attempt to clear your mind of all thought. And I find that to be the most difficult because every time I've ever gotten there, it takes a long time to get there. And as soon as my mind is empty, I go, oh, I did it. Oh, crap. There I go. So if you want to spend the time, it's fun. It's really peaceful. But I'm not one of those people that can empty my mind and keep it empty. Or maybe I have been empty for a long time. But anyway, there are different ways to meditate. And, you know, guided meditation is great. Hypnosis in a way is a form of guided meditation because we're guiding the client through thought patterns and creating changes. I employ with my clients what I call dynamic meditation. I don't know that I've heard it termed any other way, and it may be exclusive. I doubt it is. But I help people learn to quiet their mind, relax their body, bring themselves to a very peaceful place, and then imagine in whatever way works for them, whether it's visualization or just thinking about the energy, the state of being they want to be in, and then creating the feeling of it. I want you to see yourself like on a movie screen, or you've quit smoking. Let's just use that one. Or you've lost the weight. That's perfect. Mm-hmm. You're standing on the scale and it's that number 105, whatever the one you wanted is there. And you've got this smile on your face. You feel great. You look at yourself in the mirror and you say, yeah, what a hottie. I am great. Create that energy, sit in it, feel it, and hold on to it for as long as you can. That is a very powerful way to begin to manifest the changes you want, because it feels so good. Your mind starts saying, okay, what choices do I have to make now to stay here? So that is a really powerful practice, and you can combine them. It doesn't have to be the same every day. When you're trying to make a change, that dynamic meditation every day for a period of time is something that I sort of prescribe to my clients as homework. But mindful meditation, as you mentioned, just calming yourself down. And when you calm yourself down and you just sit in the moment, you realize, you know what? Most of the stuff that I'm all winged out about really isn't that important. Maybe I can just let it go. So it's cleansing. It cleanses the mind. It cleanses the spirit. It energizes us. Nothing more to it than that. And again, if you want to practice the Zen meditation, it's great. But I have never gotten past that second, like, oh, I did it. Oh, darn.
And your book, The Synthesis Effect, helps people understand the process, understand the dynamics, as well as for people who prefer to work that way, or they want to make change, haven't been able to, maybe not ready to pull the trigger to work with somebody like you, but your book will walk somebody through the process of how to enact change at a subconscious level, right?
Yeah, that's exactly the way I wrote it. And it's designed and it's sort of constructed in three parts. First, let's create understanding. Let's understand how this stuff happens. How do we get into these messes that we're in? And understand that we're not alone. There's nothing wrong with us. It's just the way the mind works. How does the mind work? Because once you understand the dynamics of the between the conscious and the subconscious and how these behaviors get, you know, programmed, if you will, into our psyche, once you understand how that happens, then when we introduce the tools to make it unhappen, you understand how the tools work because you know what's going on in your head. And then let's give you a process to use these tools so that you can actually create the change. That's how the book was designed and written. And along the way, I say, and I mean, and I'm myself, I have never been able to do these things by myself. Anytime I wanted to make a major change, as much as I may know and practice this stuff, I usually have someone that assists me. Most people are going to need some outside assistance because we tend to get in our own way. And there's a whole part of the book. There are three appendices in the book that explain how to find help, what to look for, you know, what not to look for, et cetera, et cetera. And further reading. And so that's how it was designed. Understand, here are the tools, here's how to use them.
Okay. Oh my gosh. We have about 3 minutes left here, 2 to 3 minutes. I know. It was so fun that we have to have you back sooner. So number one, if somebody is listening to you right now and thinking this is the answer, they get that feeling, this is the guy, I want to talk to him, I want to work with him, please tell people how they can get in touch with you. And two, I want to know about your new book.
Sure. Yeah. Well, if you go to my website, it's still Hypnotherapy Los Angeles because I'm not giving up that domain. I've had it for 25 years. Hypnotherapy Los Angeles, all one big word.com. Tons of content. And my contact information is there. Dr. John McGrail, for those folks who may have a group that may want a motivational or a keynote address or a support for their company. DrJohnMcGrail.com is the site for that. And again, my phone numbers are there. My email address is there. If someone reaches out, I give a completely obligation, and it's completely complimentary consultation. And if I'm not the person, I can help them find whatever it is. But that's how. And then my new book, which I'm very excited about, is called A Better You in a Minute or Two. And
Your little video series you've been doing.
Well, the video series actually was an outcropping of the book. I started writing the book and then someone said, you know, you need more presence out there on social media. So I said, okay, well, I'm going to start making chapters of the book, the videos. And so, yes, it parallels the video series, A Better You in a Minute or Two. But that the book came first. I put it down. And now that I'm in ice cold New England, freezing my butt off and not playing golf and doing all this stuff in California, I have no excuse but to finish it. So you'll love this. I called my agent the other day and I said, hey, are you still my agent? She says, of course I'm your agent. I'm your agent. I said, okay, good. I'm making you a promise. I'm going to finish the book. Now I have to.
Yes.
Yes, you do.
I love the title. That's going to fly off the shelves. Everybody wants to get fixed and nobody wants to spend a whole lot of time to do it. I don't think I'm just speaking for myself. So I love that.
And that's exactly how it's constructed. Every chapter is 2 or 3 pages long with little specific pithy tips and tricks and techniques to live your life more powerfully. And very much the same as the video series on YouTube, A Better You in a Minute or Two. Same title, same basic premise.
Dr. John, we love you. Thank you so much for all you do, for taking the time to talk with us today, and promise to have not so much time go by between the next time you come back and talk to us.
Oh, please. Love you guys, too. And I'll wear my jacket next time.
That's right. So important to look good in a session that has no video. Very nicely done there, Doc.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Frank and Mary.
Well, it was nice to have you back again, and we'll surely talk to you again once your book comes out. But we've got more on the way here with Happy Hour and Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. So please stick around. Segment 3 is up next.
Sunday mornings with 92.9 WBPM means you'll laugh more and stress less. Now here's more Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back one more time here this morning to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborn and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello.
Frank and Barry.
Oh, spot on today, girl. Spot on. We need music behind that. You were like backup singers there. So Dr. John McGrell, been a long time since we've talked to him. And it was nice, at least for our audience's sake, to be able to hear how they can make some changes in themselves moving forward, especially if New Year's resolutions have fallen to the wayside.
Yeah, well, and I love his approach. He simplifies things. He makes it understandable, approachable, and not intimidating.
Yeah, almost makes it sound a little bit easy, which is great. Right. And I was not aware that he was doing a YouTube series, A Better You in a Minute or Two. That is, when we're done here, I'm racing over there because he's so smart and like you said, so warm. That's going to be really helpful to a lot of people.
Definitely. I mean, if you think you got to take a 15-hour video course to do something, who's going to do it? But if every day there's a little something you can do that's going to, you know, little shifts over time can have a big influence.
Right, exactly. It's kind of like that defensive driving course they keep telling you to take, you know, your insurance company keeps telling you to take to save a couple of bucks off your insurance that you never do because it's 6 hours long. But, you know, if I could do that, you know, little portions at a time like this that don't have to add up to 6 hours.
Oh, Frank and Barry, how cute it is that you're trying to fit in this self-help discussion. But the best you can do is analogize it to your defensive driving course. That's so cute.
Very, I know. I know. And right now I can feel you tweaking my cheek. wanting to give me a little kiss on the forehead.
She licks her thumb and wipes that smudge off your cheek.
Exactly. And then she gives me a little bit of a noogie on the top of my head. Oh, that Frankenberry.
He's been participating more.
It was a good try. Yes, he has.
I've heard him say the word universe at least twice in the last month. So
exactly.
I know.
Yes, last week while you talked to the guest, I did take some time out and I mentioned it to check my fantasy basketball teams. I did not do that today, by the way.
You paid attention through the whole show?
To the whole show.
Oh, wow. That is pretty good.
I know. I'm subconsciously improving right now, and I don't even realize it.
See? Huh? You got hypnotized. And you didn't even know it.
Like the old Letterman days, I've been hypnotized. Yes, exactly.
Well, I love his first base message, because look, when we're not getting the results we want in life, whether it's a behavior result or an external goal that we're not meeting, or I think it's common for a lot of us. I know I do. is the first thing is to like self-criticize, right? To kind of beat yourself up for not being better or doing better. So to come at it from the perspective first of here's why those behaviors are happening. They're happening in your subconscious and you created them at 3-4 years old. So stop being so tough on yourself because you're right. not going to enact typically true positive change when you're in a state of resistance or discordance with yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. And you can't beat yourself up for things that got stuck into your brain when you were knee high to a grasshopper. I mean, right. come on. So right. I totally get it. Frankenberry, did we lose him? Did he pass out from having to talk about the universe too much in one show or
what? No, I'm still here. Just checking a trade offer I just received.
Ah! Oh, you sound like Craig. He does fantasy soccer.
Okay. There's an actual Craig. Fantasy soccer?
Oh, huge, yeah.
Okay, I was not yeah. aware of that.
Yeah.
Me neither. Since you mentioned your husband's name, let us in unison perhaps wish him a very, very, very happy birthday.
Yes. Happy birthday, Craig.
But happy birthday. You ready, Jonna? 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday.
Oh, he sounded like Frosty the Snowman.
Happy the birthday.
That's right. Hey, Craig, happy birthday. There you go, my friend.
All right, thanks, guys.
Yes, you young whippersnapper. I hate you, by the way, Mr. 50. All right, so that was Happy Hour with Dr. John McGrail, an often guest, and it was nice to have him back again today. And for Jonna Spilborg, for Carol Pesci, I am Frankenberry. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll be back again next week, same time, right here. So please join us again then.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci. If you missed last weekend's show or want to hear it again, visit the Happy Hour page at 929WBPM.com. There's more life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview next Sunday morning at 8 a.m. Live better, stress less, and laugh more with Happy Hour on 92.9 and 96.5 WBPM.